and welcome to Throwback Theater, the show that takes a look back at some overlooked and forgotten movies from the 80s, 90s, and early aughts. I am your host, Eric Lutz, and I have three close friends joining me this evening. I have Lee.
Hello, hello.
I have Lucas.
Hello.
And I have Chris.
I want to make our theme a ringtone. Can we do that?
Yeah, I think people still buy
available?
Ringtones.
Yeah.
Yeah, text us at 514-4411 and send us $16 every month, and you can have your own ringtone.
And as a bonus, we'll include the Crazy Frog.
Now available only on your Razer phone. Today we are starting something sort of special this month because Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and we want to celebrate our family and things that we're thankful for this year. So what we've done is all of us have brothers. Some of us have younger brothers. Some of us have older brothers. I myself am a middle brother, older and younger. And we have reached out to those brothers and have asked them what movies they would like us to review, what movies they remember watching, and maybe get some perspective on that. So that's what we're going to be doing this month here. And we're going to start out with Lucas's brother. You want to tell us a little bit about maybe your brother and why he picked this movie?
Yeah, why did he do this to us?
Yeah. Yeah. Does he hate us that much?
I have an older brother. Mm-hmm. His name is Leonardo. Like the turtle.
And he's currently a super fan right now. He's been listening to a lot of them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. When I asked him about it, he was like, oh, like I forgot you guys were like restarted this. Like, yeah, no, we did it like a little while ago. So he started re-listening them from pretty much the beginning of the run.
Yes. Hello, Leo.
Yeah, I was just going to say hello, buddy.
You get to this one, you'll love it.
Yeah.
When I asked him, he started saying a couple of movies, and one of them was Predator. As we were kids, we used to watch Predator a lot. Probably more than any kid on our age should have been watching Predator. We
but
used
that's
to play
not
it.
The movie he landed on, ultimately.
No, because I told him, like, well, we're not doing Predator, because like, we watch Predator, like, every year. Like,
it's a great movie. It's kind of a classic.
Great movie. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, there's what is being has to be said about that movie has already been said multiple times. Mm-hmm. And then he mentioned also The Pagemaster. He was like, well, we already covered that one. And then he mentioned two other ones. One was Double Team. Which we'll get to it.
Oh, we have to get to Double Team. Yeah,
and
have
like, well,
to. It's a must watch.
And then I was like, well, like, let's like see if you can think of any other like more family friendly ones since we're doing like for a Thanksgiving one. Or I think it would just be nice. And then he texted me the other day. It was like Lost in Space. Last year, Lost in Space.
Nailed it.
So, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot that movie existed.
Leo, we've been pretty formal so far, but I do want to just take this moment to say fuck you for making all of us watch this garbage piece of shit movie. I hated it.
I asked him, like, oh, what do you remember? Like, what is that, you know?
And ultimately, like, I mean, this movie revolves around family. So
he was telling me that he remembered of Joey being in the movie. Matt LeBlanc is Captain West in
the
movie. Major.
Excuse you.
Major West in the movie.
So
and he was like, oh, and he always remembers the cool mask that he has.
Of
when
course.
He's,
yeah, that's
hell
the,
yeah.
The trailer.
Yeah. And they're fighting the
they
spiders.
They sold
in
the movie
there.
On that mask.
And he worked. to sell the movie.
And Burger King toys.
And we didn't have those in Brazil.
Sad.
But
they don't
mom,
have toys in Brazil.
My mom was a big Lost in Space.
So was my dad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
fan.
William Hurt fan. Love William Hurt.
Yeah, she was a big... So the reason why we watched it, and we might have watched it in theaters, that I don't remember, but the reason why we watched it was because my mom was a big Lost in Space and Star Trek. She always liked that hopeful look of humanity going into space.
My dad also loved Star Trek. He loved this old series. He loved, Twilight Zone. He was a big sci-fi junkie.
And this movie has nothing to do with any of those classics.
Nope. I just want to say real fast before I want to hear from you guys. Like, this was a series. I know that they are currently remaking the series on Prime, maybe?
Netflix.
I don't know.
They did it 2 years ago.
I know that they're doing a third and final season, which is nice because they can wrap it up. But I feel like this has got to work better in a series format than it does in this movie. But did you see this, Lee?
I never saw this movie as a kid, but I heavily remember the trailers with the mask and getting the Burger King toys.
Hell yeah.
I wish I knew what toys were they?
Were they just like...
Blarp.
Yeah.
Toys of them or like the little monkey?
It's one of the, if I saw a picture, I'd be like, oh, I had that one.
I'm almost positive that the robot was probably one.
Yeah.
I'm going to
sure.
Google image
probably
it
the monkey
right
thing,
now.
Blarp.
But this is one that was more advertised that I absorbed than what, like, wanted to actually watch, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I could also see Gary Oldman as this spider thing as a toy.
Oh boy, guys.
I do. That's one of the things I remember with this movie was always like the spider attack on the first ship with a mask and Gary Oldman spider creature at the end.
This just made me want to watch The Fifth Element, which I also watched with my dad, but also, I mean, Gary Oldman. It's the better movie.
The Burger King toys, which some of them are available on eBay, and some of you may be receiving these for Christmas. Wow, one of them is the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
Out. The space robot.
Yep.
There's future Dr. Smith puppet. So you could, like, puppet what? The Gary Oldman
so
spider
is this the
character.
Spider?
Okay. I'm saying a lot of stuff that we haven't talked about yet, but wow. And then yeah, it was Matt LeBlanc, but it was with the mask.
The mask
on.
Of
so
course.
He was kind of like a sock puppet guy. I had that one.
Late 90s Happy Meal toys are quite a gem. Just Google some of those.
These
and
are not
take a
Happy Meal toys.
Like. These are big kid meal toys.
Yeah, this is BK.
He's the king.
Thank you. Luke.
Brought to you by Burger King. Chris,
sponsor
you saw
us.
This?
Oh, yeah. And I want to preface this with, and I don't know what came first. I don't know if this is a chicken and the egg scenario, but 1 year for Christmas, my brother and I both got matching keychain collector sets. So it was just like, it's a wooden frame that had our name on it, and it had like four rows of hooks. For us to collect keychains
for this movie?
No.
I was gonna be like, how does this tie into anything?
But one of the very first keychains I remember having was the robot from Lost in Space, the original series, and you could push his head down, and he would say, "Danger, danger, Will Robinson." And I don't know if I got that before because my dad was excited about it to be like, "This movie's coming out, like you guys are in for such a treat." Or if I got it right after because I was like, that movie was awesome.
Yeah, right.
Not sure. But so. Either way, I had a robot keychain of the original robot from the original series, which is the same voice actor from the original series.
Which they do kind of try to recreate the robot at the end because he has the head.
Yes,
and
that head is
the
original design from the 60s.
This was
series.
Supposed to be a 3-movie series.
They signed the entire cast onto a contract for 3 movies.
Which would probably... I think make a little bit not. I think this movie was really bad, but I think that maybe it would make more sense
the plot
if there was
is
three.
So convoluted.
Yeah, and before you even get to that, I do want to say this movie actually made a lot of money.
It was
but
like
not
a, the summer
North
blockbuster
America,
of like
it knocked Titanic off. Yes. Its 15 like week run
Titanic
and number one
had
at the
a
box 15 office.
15 week run and number one, and that's why they called this the iceberg.
Yeah,
because it broke the Titanic. I know it hurts. and I'm pretty sure I saw this at theaters because I think I remember leaving with my dad and brothers, and just I told this to Lucas. I don't. Remember a lot of this movie, but I remember the feeling of confusion leaving the movie. I remember just feeling like, what the fuck? Like, what happened? And I watched this the other day, and that feeling still was there. The feeling didn't totally go away. This movie is all over the place. It has time travel on top of time travel. It has
hyperspace. Interstellar.
Wormholes.
Betrayal, but also they're friends with the traitor guy. And it has Heather Graham. It has maybe one of the worst love stories I've ever seen. And all of, I mean, we've been doing a lot of movies. This one is a bad love story.
There's a lot to talk about.
So let me say this before we jump in, because I think that this might help us sort of clarify, because it's going to get confusing real fast. This movie has 3 parts to it. It has the beginning where they get on the ship and they are about to crash and they go into hyperspace.
The plot of this movie is that Earth is I forgot the year.
2058.
That's what I thought.
Can
was
we
like
just start from the source material of like, so this comes from Lost in Space from the 60s, which was a TV show, which is based on a 19th century book about the Robinson family and
this is based on Swiss Family Robinson.
Yes,
but in space.
Where? What is the plot of that story?
They are
lost in an island.
On an island.
They crashed.
Have you
ever
seen Swiss Family Robinson?
No.
Oh, dude, do yourself a favor. Great movie. They make coconut grenades and fight pirates.
Sounds better than this.
It is. Yeah, so, it is a better movie.
So this is a remake or a genre twist of a remake from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of layers.
I know. It's a lot. So they blast off. The second sort of part is where the spiders come. The last part is time travel sort of thing on the planet.
They already time travel when the spiders show up.
Yeah, but they don't know. It's time travel within time travel.
Yes.
Because they go to hyperspace.
Right. So this is going to be confusing.
It's after that they cross into a different time.
We have to go into this podcast with the assumption that this listener has not seen this movie ever. So we need to make things clear, I think is what I'm trying to say.
I can't make it clear.
I'll start. The movie, the basic premise of the movie, what kicks it off is the fact that we have destroyed Earth as we are doing right now. And it's already past the point that we can save ourselves to the point that
this is only like 30 years from now.
We are looking to, which is not far from the predictions.
No, exactly.
As people
say. Except we don't have space portals.
This movie is almost, we're not as close as the technology they have in this.
This movie is almost 30 years old, and this is 30 years away in the future. So
but
we're halfway there.
So the basic premise is that we use all the resources of Earth, and we've been looking for planets that we can colonize, but we haven't found anything yet until they found Alpha Prime. Which is...
This is the plot of Interstellar.
Yes. Yeah, in a way. And
do you think
Chris
Nolan saw this movie and was like, I can do this better?
They have the same basic things.
Yeah.
The Interstellar is just more scientifically based that they try to use more. It also makes it even as convoluted as the other one. And so they realize that Alpha Prime might be their best way to do this, but it's too far away to start sending colonists to the place.
Right, so they're trying to make gateways.
They create hyperdrive in this version. But hyperdrive, the thing is that if you don't have a gate, a door to door,
it just shoots you in the space.
It shoots you anywhere in space.
Right.
So they're creating a door here, and then they're going to send these family in a 10-year trip to Alpha Prime so they can finish up a ring there. So
which
they can
is
create
weird,
two doors.
This family is supposed to finish building.
Yes.
There seems to be already people
ring.
There.
Right, there are people there.
Wait, there's people on Alpha Prime.
Or close to it. They have a gate already being built.
Okay, so in order to not send people on a 10-year hypersleep... Wait, is that how long it really takes?
Yes.
Did they say
yes.
that?
Yeah.
Okay, so in order to not send people from Earth who need to eventually evacuate Earth because it will no longer be livable to Alpha Prime...
It's resources. They don't have enough resources to send everyone.
Gate,
yes.
Which is basically a stargate to shoot them from one side of the galaxy to the other.
Instantaneously.
Okay.
I am big fan of the sci-fi genre, and I was immediately checked out at the sci-fi of this movie.
There is so much exposition in the beginning of this movie, and it's so nonsense. There's terrorists that want to blow it up, and they're mutants. They also say, and I'm like, why are they mutants?
It's every sci-fi trope at once.
Yeah, and then Gary Oldman meets them later, but those people aren't mutants, and they want to stop it because they're like some kind of they have a name. They're some kind of cult. They're like purists of Earth. Where they believe we should, I guess, die there, but also fly spaceships. And they're building their own fucking portal to go to Alpha Prime is what they say. And I'm like, how does a terrorist group or whoever function? How do you let them build this in space in order to? And they're like, we're afraid that they're going to build it and get there before us. And I'm like, what? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, a lot of this doesn't make sense.
None of that needs to exist.
There's
at all.
A lot of exposition. I felt like this movie was boring overall.
There's a lot of boring parts.
This
almost
felt like a Disney Channel Act One, because
it's a long movie.
Following the teenage girl and her problems, and the little boy and his toys. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of like how Xenon starts.
I was gonna say I would have rather watched Xenon.
It makes more sense.
Also, the dressing, like the set dressing, and like the whole production design in this is so 90s,
and it took
for
a shit ton of money.
It hurts
for a futuristic thing. It looks weirdly just very 90s,
in the worst way.
Yeah, and they built all these sets choice. And they're boring, and they apparently took up like 9 to 12 like studio lots in London, like where they filmed this. Like it was massive,
and they brought a lot of the people from the original show to do cameos in this.
Yeah,
and two of them that didn't come over was, I think, the guy who plays Smith. Dr. Smith is not in this, the original one. And then I think the guy who plays Major West, and one of them, I forgot which one.
They're both smart.
One of them couldn't do it because of he just couldn't do it with his time thing. But the other one was, I think it's the guy who plays Smith. He said that he would only do it if he's playing Dr. Smith. Otherwise,
which was an idea they were
going to
play with. It was going to be future. Basically.
Yeah, he would be the other version.
The newest Star Trek movie, the first one, pretty much does a lot of what this movie does. They do almost the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's really not. But that's exactly what they do. And they have, like, Leonard Nimoy replies, like, he's just older Spock. And you're like, ugh, okay, I guess.
This
can
movie,
you get, wait.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the first one on board, cast member-wise? Who Matt was LeBlanc. Like, I'm in?
Matt LeBlanc.
Nope.
The girl who grows up to be
Gretchen in Mean Girls.
No, it was Gary Oldman.
Yeah,
Gary Oldman was like, he was the first one to sign. I was like, yep, want to do a family film? Yep, I'm in.
Because Gary Oldman also he's a fantastic actor.
Oh, sells it. I mean, he's not phoning it in.
No,
but he plays that '90s Gary Oldman bit role though. Like, I don't think he brings anything unique to this role that he doesn't do better in other movies. And don't get me started on hooded. CG Gary Oldman.
Oh, it's a lot.
Like I said, this movie is boring. And so he sabotages Dr. Smith. Gary Oldman sabotages the ship. The robot's
being paid by the terrorist group.
Right.
He's part of the terrorist group.
Like, but he's not. He doesn't actually give a shit. He just wants the money. Is what I understand.
Yeah, he's sort of chaotic, neutral, sometimes chaotic, evil. Because
which is
just,
how his character, I believe, is in the show, which is why he's also saved at the end of the movie. Not spider form.
Bleah. Yeah, so that bugged me.
Isn't he still going to turn into a spider?
No, it's alternate dialogue.
No, okay. I think that they do mention that.
Because he still has the bite.
The dad should have choked him out.
Yes, the dad should have killed him.
No, Matt LeBlanc should have thrown him into the fucking airlock.
That
like
bugged me
this
whole movie in that he sabotaged not only the ship, but like the ship was the fate of humanity. And they're like, all right, why don't you watch my son?
No, see, you missed what I said earlier, Eric. That's the Splinter terrorist cell group were building their own.
He did it, though.
Yeah, but he didn't. He was being funded by the terrorist groups who were going to have their own gate to Alpha Prime.
The reason why they don't kill him is because A, Matt LeBlanc wants to kill him, but he says, if you kill me, she dies, and he has the love interest.
Because he is a doctor.
He's going to die, first of all. So he's the only one that can save Heather
Graham.
You're right. Matt LeBlanc says, I won't kill you. And then Will Hurd, the reason why he doesn't do it is because, first of all, he's not a killer. And then second of all, Maureen even says that it's like, because if we're building a new society, we should start it, you know, like
but
doing
it
a better
way.
Way
too much leeway to do whatever. They should be like, go the fuck back to your cell now.
Yeah.
They just give him, they're like, all right, you're evil. Watch my children while I go away, please.
First of all, they don't. The kid
they
opens
do
the
shit
door.
Like that all the time.
The kid lets himself in.
Extremely frustrating, though. That kid's supposed to be, like...
smart.
A genius.
Yeah.
Not even smart, like, beyond that.
I think that the whole thing that works is just the fact that he is craving for a fatherly figure attention,
but
and Dr. Smith
so
gives
immediate.
It to him. Yes, yep. and that kid is also not a good actor. He's very weak.
Like, he's supposed to be like a savant.
I love the shot, which I thought I wrote it down. It was hilarious because it clearly looks like that is a green screen shot between Gary Oldman is by the end of the movie when he lets Dr. Smith out. And is like Dr. Smith is like this close to the camera and the kid is like in the background. They look not to be shot in the same place. And the kid is clearly just like either like reacting to some other stuff. And he does like a little like fist pump when like Gary Oldman's just like, well, if I have to go with you, then I will go with you. And it was all he wanted all the way. And the kid's like, yeah. it's a weird conversation between these two the whole way through.
The movie opens and then there's like an attack on the fucking gate. And there's this giant space sequence with Matt LeBlanc and like his buddy. And it's so
stupid.
I'll
get you a beer after this is over.
Oh my God. Matt LeBlanc is just to be, and in his defense, he delivers most of those like really cornball lines pretty well. Like he's just given nothing but like throwaway lines. And it's just like, they're all
Doll, how about you and I after this? We explore after we're done exploring the space, why don't you explore my bedroom?
We're going towards the sun. Is that what that great big ball in the sky is? Like, oh, some doctor you are. And this and that. Oh, that was real scientific. And it's just those after
that's
the like
fish
one after
I
the other.
Thaw.
Oh, yeah. But at least I will say he does a good job delivering those lines. I generally believe
that's
that.
That's fair. It's just just
that's
Heather Graham,
no,
the daughter.
Work with.
I also, when you think he's like hitting on their 20-year-old daughter in front of her entire family.
Oh, they just make out at the end, and the family is just
watching. The family just turns and looks, and they all just watch. I just, boy, that was like rough to watch. So, like any scene where they're interacting.
Still rewinding.
Yeah, we got to go
I'm
back.
I'm still stuck in the beginning here because like then they have
we haven't
to,
got to the second
the
act
family's
yet.
Gonna like go off into space, and we're getting told how they're doing it through different family members. And like the middle sister is upset because she's a younger teenager. She's sneaking out to the mall, and dad missed the science fair because he's an absent father. And that's the whole fucking point of the story, apparently. Oh boy, wait till Jared Harris gets in this movie. And then like then we meet Heather Graham, and we don't know that she's his daughter. And then she's like, "Ha, yeah, remember you were hitting on me, like, and tell my dad how hot I was. I'm his daughter, and I'm also a scientist." And we're having family problems.
Doctor.
And then they're like, Matt LeBlanc, you're going to be in charge of the ship. And he's like, I don't want to be in charge of the ship. And they're like, well, the last guy was murdered last night, so you're in charge of the ship. And he's
can
like,
you
oh,
do the whole
geez.
Movie this way? We're yep, just going to we're sure going to take can. A step back. We're just going to let you go.
And it just
it's all stereotyped.
The yeah. first 30 minutes of this movie could be 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm convinced yeah, of that. There's just so much there. And I'm no, like, oh, none they, of this needs to
they,
happen.
They could start pretty much as Matt LeBlanc is introduced as a new pilot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And yes. be like, oh, this is the yeah. family that yeah. you're going to be taking into space. Like, you're escorting them. You're kind of
like,
their security.
The most, if you really want to introduce the rebel mutant thing, you just do already in the voiceover that you're already doing it. Or even afterwards, just means like, well, we've been fighting these rebels for, like, mm-hmm. we need to get this done.
I knew I was in trouble when it starts with, like, a bad CGI shot of space, and it's William Hurt being like, space. And we've used up all the resources on Earth, and now we're building this gate to go to another planet, and sometimes there's these people that attack the gate, and that's where we are now, and you'll see me soon.
And
I'm like, what is this?
You know that clearly, like, they had the movie, they probably started with the fight scene.
Oh, there must have been a
screen.
Fuck ton of post-production.
No, they screened like, the movie, and people say, what the fuck is going
yes.
on? It's like, oh yeah, we need William Hurt to explain to people everything that's going on before this.
Because
like,
the runtime of this movie is around 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh,
I had to
oh,
take
feels
three.
So
I had to take three breaks in this movie because I was just like, I can't sit here for another.
You know what I did during this movie? Hmm. I actively like had it on, and I was going through all of my clothes and my wardrobe and putting stuff that I was never gonna wear again into a bag for Goodwill.
See, that's the only time to watch this movie. That's like, oh my god, there's nothing, and I have to go through my closet and organize. So the ship is sabotaged,
and they go through the sun.
They go through it. So either they crash into the sun,
before
or they use the hyperdrive and travel through the sun.
Hyperdrive is like a sub dimension.
Before you even get close to the,
you know, it's like when you fold a piece of paper in half and then you put a pencil through
they
it.
Did not,
just like
they're like we're going through the fucking sun.
My biggest concern here is that they are launching the spaceship from Earth, not from Earth, but either way they're from
no,
Earth.
No, it's from Earth.
Yeah,
and
they're launching
it like
from
separates a shell.
No. We all seen how spaceships are launched from here.
They don't launch them directly at the sun.
No. It was sabotaged towards the sun. Like when
I know, but the
fact is like. You don't create, you're not trying to get something that heavy out of Earth that is like a mile wide, flat
wide.
There's
a lot of space junk.
You're like, no, it needs to be like an arrow.
Oh, it
like,
doesn't
it
work
needs
aerodynamic.
To pierce.
Better yet,
I see.
Just build the fucking thing in space.
Yeah.
That too.
You have the technology.
If you're going to make it that round and big, which I understand. But like again, like anytime that you see any spaceship in those movies, they're like they're clearly like a weird shape. You never see them being launched from like a gravitational pull
from Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, because need to break the gravity. It's like this is like a lot of drag pressure.
I have a question.
I'm not a scientist, obviously.
Are they transporting resources to the new planet?
No.
I think what they have there is all the things to finish up the ring.
Because it was like, they could just make a ship that's like yay big and fits
yes.
their sleep pods.
I think they're bringing stuff to finish up the ring.
Which they okay. fail.
Well, they never
mission.
Get to
yeah,
that.
And humanity is doomed.
Yeah.
By the
yeah.
end of
no,
the movie.
No, there's time travel. They can go and
but there's
be
two
there.
Timelines
oh,
that,
that
they're in, maybe?
So when yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
They cross into it. Oh, yeah.
They have decision either
Gary
crash
Oldman.
Into the sun. Yeah,
wait,
he
wait,
sabotages.
Wait, wait. No, even
Gary
before
Oldman
that
sneaks
happens,
in.
Did you guys notice at the press conference that William Hurt's having when they're asking him about like the scientific endeavor, like all of the press, they're all wearing sunglasses?
No, I didn't.
You guys didn't notice this? Like, yeah. Everyone in the audience was holding, like weird future cameras, and, like, but they're all wearing sunglasses. And I was like, what is this?
The future.
I can't.
Just you wait 30 years, and then you're going to be like, I was wrong. Everyone's wearing sunglasses.
And they're at a press conference, and then the military guys is like, all right, that's enough asking questions. I think it's about time to launch. I'm like, what? That's the whole point of a press conference.
Because Gary Oldman sneaks in, sabotages and then what he does is he sabotages the robot that is there to help the Robinsons as they go to sleep, and he's supposed to wake up 6 hours after launch.
That is a movie in and of itself.
Sabotage the what?
Like waking up and surviving a robot. This is basically, like, once again, it's every sci-fi movie ever. This is basically one third of a space odyssey.
There is literally a Death, Love, and Robots episode pretty much about that.
So Gary Oldman sabotages the robot, and as he's leaving, he gets a call from the rebellion people who...
They're not rebels. They're terrorists.
They are terrorists, yes. But they still call themselves like a resistance. So who is the bad guy here?
And then he somehow gets a burn on his hand.
Well, because I think that they are trying to kill him as well.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but they
still... So they don't have to pay him.
It is a weird way
so
of,
he's
like,
double-crossed.
You have, like, that's like
him?
Having, like, a Nazi logo burned on your hand, which
no,
is,
it's
like,
literally like the Raiders guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then,
I mean,
but then
was,
Gary Oldman is trapped. Gary Oldman is trapped, and when he wakes up, he's in space where he doesn't want to be, and now the robot is going to kill everyone,
and
including
destroy
him.
The ship. Yeah.
Yeah, including him. So now he's trying to stop the robot from starting this, but the robot is already halfway through
for
his,
like,
rampage.
4 hours.
6 hours. I think that's, yeah, that's when the robot's supposed to start.
They're supposed to be on a 10-year journey. They're asleep for 6 hours, and you're like, shit, is that our sun? Like,
yeah.
They've barely left the solar system.
And also, they are already so close to the sun when they're discussing
what to
do.
They'd be burned to death.
And they also, like...
They have heat shields, Eric, and they're 40%. They clearly are not paying attention to the movie.
But they open the window to see the sun. Like, they will be blind at that point, right?
No, polarizers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Filters. I forgot the polarizers.
So they hyperdrive through the sun.
And, all right, so let's talk about this trope of hyperspace. Hyperdrive, warp drive, wormholes. Okay, we've seen how many movies?
Two
movies. There's only Star Wars and Star Trek. And we can all buy into that technology. I, as a 30-year-old man... am still having a hard time understanding what they mean by hyperspace. Is it a subdimension
where
they slip out of our reality and essentially aren't physically bound? And then, but then when they go through the sun, the spaceship then trails sun particles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not how that.
Well, if you want to know about, like, hyperdrive and stuff
within the realms of this movie, how does it work?
They don't say this, but I just speculate. So one of the theories about the universe is that it's sort of, one is that it's concave, and one of them is it's sort of on the outside of like a bubble, like a balloon. So, and this is space. This is outside the realm of this movie, but so if hyperdrive is sort of cutting through the middle part, if that makes any sense.
Yes, I get that.
I
aspect.
Think that's what they're going for.
I don't see how does going through the sun and then going through a planet.
No, it's literally, it's a throwaway line by William Hurt where he's like, oh, well, like, hyperspace is like the underlying of space where, like, it's like sneaking underneath space and then
you don't know the fabric of
yeah. But I want to reiterate, when they come out of hyperspace, they are trailing sun particles.
Yes, the same thing happens in the climax.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're like, we gotta go through the crumbling planet again.
So let me just say, at this point, I'm not totally off board. I'm like, okay, I'm still on board.
God bless you. I am bored.
Yes, I am very bored, but I am here. And this is where I think the movie that it should be and the movie that it is, it separates. So I think what it should be is, hey, we ended up at this part of space, and if it's like, this outpost or whatever is that way. We got to go get to it. But oh shit, our ship's broken. We need this sort of thing, and that's why we need to go to this spaceship. We need to go to this planet.
No, they just drift into an abandoned ship.
So is exactly so
immediately. They're just like, oh,
space is endless. They
landed in the one spot of uncharted space to them.
There's
just a ship.
There is the same time. Veil, whatever you want to call it, That's what they see. I think
what the fuck is a time veil?
It's all these little things that they go through and they're going and forth time.
So did his son create all those, or are they natural occurrences? Because they're not natural, right?
They accidentally go through time as well in space.
Yeah, but are those are just space bubbles forming, like time bubbles?
They don't get to any space bubbles, any time bubbles yet.
No,
yes,
they do.
That's how they find the first
ship. Because that ship's from their future, because it's the search ship.
Do they go through time bubbles, or is it just the fact that they are traveling at a fast rate?
That's what I think.
No, I think that they mentioned that him creating the time machine is also distorting time.
The fact that we don't know any of this is like, it says a lot about the movie.
I think it is just like, As you drop like droplets into water and it creates the ripples, I think what you're seeing are the ripple effect.
But we see that
like
on the planet
going through it.
Well, we see that when they get to the planet,
because he has this
but we don't see
bubble,
that as soon as they come out of the.
I still don't understand that either.
Yeah,
because no. I think that they he is just I think it's just a full on ripple effect that is just breaking through all these time zones, realities, if you want to call it, and it's just creating like a domino effect through reality as we know it. Yes,
and also destroying the planet that it started from.
So you're saying when they go through the sun, they're not traveling through time.
No,
really.
When they
get the first ship. Because they see a veil and he punches through it. That's the first time
that
they are traveling.
But that's not caused by traveling at that speed.
No, I think that's just that is happening because when they get lost in space, where you're seeing which they never say in the movie. They always get close. But I think when they got lost in space, where you're seeing is what's going to happen to them is that they will crash into a ice planet, and they're all going to die. And so you're seeing the actual their future, but because in that future Will Robinson is creating this time machine, that future is breaking through into time ripples.
If that is
true, getting through it,
it's a bad time.
Yeah, if that is true, that is a hard plot to follow.
There's
layers of time because so they find the ship, they realize that ship, because then we see Matt LeBlanc's like buddy co-pilot old
again.
I don't think
there is three times. I think there's only literally two times.
Well, we'll talk about this a little bit more
once
we get to the time travel part.
Because I think the first time that he punches it, you're seeing what happens to them as that ship now that they're looking for them is from the future of them already getting lost.
Right.
And then when they find Will, that's already the same storyline. Because they're just creating themselves into a loop.
You're saying that the reason that they traveled through time as well as space is because of Will's time travel, is his time machine.
Which in their time he hasn't invented yet, because those events haven't happened.
Right, but I think that when they hyperdrive through space, they also went through time, because space and time are tethered.
But wouldn't the other people building the gate also have affected that at that point?
Wouldn't the people, you mean the people on the Alpha Prime?
Yeah.
Have affected the time travel?
Why do they have a better knowledge of the star system?
We're a little lost in space right now.
I think at that point they already have traveled more because I assume is.
But Earth was dying.
There is real, like physical, we know mathematically that if you travel that fast, time does distort.
Right.
Which is why I'm confused on how that relates to this movie.
Well, if you're traveling at a hyperspeed like that, you'd go faster than the rest of the universe. So it'd be like you're going really far into the future.
In our real reality, if we went to the closest star and back at the speed of light, we would not have aged as much as the people on Earth. They would be older. So how does that play into this actual?
Because
if it does.
Well, that's the thing. It's confusing the fuck out of
me. When they go through hyperdrive and they're going that fast, the rest of the world is going at a slower rate. So by the time that they come out, it's 20 years into the rest of the universe's future, but for them it's only been a few seconds.
No, because time is relative.
Right. So they're going super fast.
Time travel. So when they ultimately leave the planet at the end and go back into space, what has happened on Earth? Like, are they still still have a mission where like we need to get there and complete this gate, or is it all negated by the fact that like They're like 100 years.
We never got the sequel that would explain also, what happened.
So they see the video of Matt LeBlanc's friend, and it looks like he hasn't really aged at all, but you can assume it's been 5, 10, 20 years, something
He's
like that.
He's supposed to be old, but he doesn't look old. But then William Hurt's like, your friend looking so old. And I'm like, did he look that old? Black men just age better than we do.
The ship has been abandoned for, I don't know, 100 years, something like that.
Yeah, because she says Heather Graham has the line where it's like, oh, this kind of growth would take like a century to happen.
So that's how far
like
in the future.
The video they're seeing is like already the future, but then the crew all died and the ship's just been floating for like a century in space. So who the fuck knows how much time has passed? Earth is probably dead.
It's very convenient that they stumble upon that ship in the infinite of
time
and space.
They
exactly.
Immediately
that's why it should be like, oh
shit,
here we are in space. We need to try to get over here. If we can go that way, there might be like an outpost, and then they come across that ship.
I think that's why the thing is, because I think they're all connected to the one moment in time that the ripples are happening from.
But you see the ripples. They stay on the planet.
Well,
they cross through them.
But I think it's because when he's creating the thing, you're getting a Smith that was already infected by the things on that ship. So they had to have gone through that ship for that Smith to exist.
I don't think we'll ever really get to the bottom of this.
So the idea, again, I think is like that you're seeing they're going through the time events that led to that moment that he's trying to go back in time.
I don't agree.
Let's all pause for 1 second and talk about how cool Matt LeBlanc's mask is.
there we go.
It's like Rocketeer.
So the family finds peril of the robot. They fly through the sun. They find an abandoned ship. They find that it's a future ship, but when they go onto the ship, it's abandoned. And they hear like little tink, 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 tink. And I like the dripping. Gary Oldman does it so well. They're like, oh, do you hear that? He's like, oh, it's like the dripping blood. And like, then they're just like, shut up. I'll shoot you.
I also think it's a bad idea. Shut up.
That's
what they tell him this whole
evil
time.
Evil knows evil.
Oh, God. That's such a stupid fucking line. But I forgot about this moment. When I watched, I was like, oh, the fucking monkey. I was like, I forgot
the monkey.
And what a
too.
Poor, awful choice have that fucking monkey who does nothing
to the story.
I 100% bet that they made that so they can make Burger King toys out of it.
No, I viewed this whole movie as a prototype for The Phantom Menace. Where like all
that's the Jar Jar.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of this movie was like, are we ready to make another Star Wars? And they like did the CG and they're like, nah, we'll give it a second. Can we introduce a Blarp character? Well, we'll try with Jar Jar.
Is there a monkey in the original series?
I don't know.
If they should just made it like a Chapukin monkey, like just make it
an actual monkey, a puppet would have been better.
Yoda looked like a CGI puppet
in The Phantom Menace. I want to say just. That's how
it
unprogressed CG was at the time.
I have two quick questions for you guys.
They made a whole bigger character that's more complex than Yoda.
My first question leads into my second question. One, after they hyperdrive, is anything wrong with their ship?
No. Well, I mean, their they're fixing the stuff. They've got the ship got.
It's like
they're also running out of energy.
Right.
Okay.
That leads me to my second question. Why are they boarding this other ship? Are they looking for, we need supplies,
home.
They need to know where they are because they try to map the stars and they don't find anything that they know.
They find that.
They find it on this ship that they come across.
So they're going onto the ship because they're like, we think there's going to be
a future. Like they recognize the design, but they don't know it. They're like, it'd be like seeing like a Ford, like you had a Ford Bronco in 1990 and it's like seeing a Ford Bronco now where you're like, oh, that's a Ford Bronco, but like I've never seen it like that.
I have a surprise third question here. If you have a robot that you can control and see through and everything, you think you might just send that robot?
Yes.
Okay.
Which they do.
And then they go along with the robot.
Because if there is something in there, you can just grab it faster than the robot could.
If there was something in there that's going to kill you.
He has no opposable thumbs.
Yeah. But you also have a robot to protect you.
It doesn't do a great job at that.
It does. It saves
And also, they did scan the ship. There's no life forms that they detect.
They did that in Alien, and they got fucked.
Basically, the monkey is just Newt. It's the same fucking premise.
You could send a robot and say, hey, look, there's spiders, and I found the map. It's in this room.
Well, no, Eric, there's space spiders, and they're cold-blooded, and they live on the outside of the ship. You need to pay attention to the details.
I paid attention. And I also, like, checked my phone a bunch, but, like...
But yeah, somehow the only survivor of the ship is just this space monkey.
Which, it upsets. I wish there were dead bodies in this ship.
Yes, once again, this is its own movie.
Yes.
This entire sequence is its own film.
Yeah. That's what I mean at the beginning, when I was talking at the beginning. There's almost like three separate things. They're going to space, and the ship is sabotaged.
Yeah, it's almost this drama about Earth ending and science, and like, we need to leave the planet.
And then it's spiders.
Action sequence.
It's ghost ship in space, and then it's time travel movie. And it just so disconnected.
Dude was like,
was it Sunshine?
Three acts. One, two, three. And they were like, sold.
So
it's every sci-fi trope gobbled into one and doing none of them
justice.
Yeah.
They really try to cram like every science fiction trope they can into one movie. And it's just like,
I wanted them to explore space a little bit more, but like, they go here, they crash the planet.
Where it's like one, two, and three, they have like three locations, and I'm like, this is supposed to be lost in space. Like, you have everything at your helm. You can imagine any kind of world
Chris.
No, clearly this movie looks expensive, and it was like, I mean, it looks not cheap. Even
it
that
would be
that,
more
the
expensive
terrible
than
like pre-Matrix scene where they go into hyperspace and it like they're all frozen and the camera's like panicked. Yeah, but it doesn't look good.
I liked it.
Yeah, it looks like a video game cut.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So the CG in this movie, I would say, is right on that cusp of like a year or two later would have been fine.
Some of it blended looks okay.
But like, man, did Gary Oldman's spider character look like almost as bad as the Scorpion
and the monkey.
King.
The monkey, yeah.
The monkey looks bad. Like, when they feed him like a candy bar and then Heather Graham gets like wet, it doesn't look good.
Agreed.
That happens. She gives him like Joey like feeds the monkey a candy bar, and she gives him like the, oh, I'm gonna fuck this guy eyes. Like, oh, look at
do
him.
Me
he's
a favor,
like
never
a
procreate.
The monkey. Yeah.
Whatever.
So after they blow up that ship, the ship they find to kill the spiders, which makes them crash land onto the icy planet below, and this is sort of where the third part of the movie comes into play.
It's
this is
the
where the
third
time travel.
Shell.
We didn't even talk about Penny's bracelet.
What's her bracelet?
She has a smart watch.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And she like
has a camera on it.
Is occasionally like recording like a video.
Oh yeah,
blog.
It's like her vlog. Like, here I am. Yeah. And
she also has a weird voice.
She does have a weird voice.
She's Eliza Thornberry.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Mean Girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew she was a Mean Girl.
Guys,
girls,
I had
know.
A huge crush on her in this movie when I was a little kid. Like when I was 8 years old, I was like, oh, I love that girl.
I think I had a crush on Heather Graham.
Yeah,
I wasn't
old
enough for Heather Graham yet. I wasn't mature enough for a woman. I needed somebody who was like,
Heather Graham.
You're still not.
Yeah,
do you guys miss Heather Graham? I mean, I miss Heather Graham.
I miss Heather Graham.
I think she's the year before this. Austin Powers,
Austin
I think the year
Powers
after.
Is what I remember.
She's still
she
doing
also
internet
Twin
stuff.
Peaks.
Yeah, shit. Damn. I miss you, Heather Graham. I know. I feel like this is going
to
open a can of worms, but they land on this planet, and this is where the second or possibly third layer of time travel.
We see Will alternate reality.
There is a bubble that is growing and
next to the ship, and they need some kind of energy to get the ship off the planet.
The engine core.
Yes.
And there's some nuclear activity deeper
in the center of the time bubble.
Yes.
So,
which I love on their map, it shows up as like it's the map of the surrounding area, and it's like just like the radiation symbol like in the center of the bubble. And I'm like, what kind of map is this? It's showing like, yep, there's the radiation.
It's exactly what you need from a map. It needs to give you information of where to go to get what you need.
The professor and Matt LeBlanc go into the bubble only to find
Their ship dilapidated.
Ship, yes, and it's
and
only
all the family's dead.
Right.
No. The other two find that.
Yeah, I know, but they find that later. Yeah, so then the kid, Will and Dr. Smith go, and that's when they find the family's dead. But,
and wow, they really fucked up the casting or something for that kid.
Well,
why does it look like he's
the only movie
he's
in?
Do you know who
in?
That is? That's, it's Jared Harris.
Should I know who this is?
He was recently in, like, Chernobyl.
Oh.
I mean,
I thought this was the only thing he was in.
Why does it look like he has a fake beard pasted onto his face with that stringy hair?
Oh, you mean the older version
of Will?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The older version of Will is played by Jared Harris.
But he's dubbed over.
Yes. They also ADR'd him. He's English, and they ADR'd him with an American voice.
For this movie?
What? Yes.
Oh,
every line was ADR'd by somebody else.
I was watching, it looks like fucking Jared Harris, but it doesn't sound like fucking Jared Harris.
Yeah.
Why cast an English actor if you're going to ADR all of his dialogue with an American accent?
Well, I mean, James Bond does it all the time.
In the 60s.
Exactly.
This is 1998. And
but it's a show from the 60s. They're just following the
guidelines.
I feel
like they were just like, we need an old, we didn't cast older Will. Well, we're filming in England. Well, just grab somebody. Jared Harris.
Maybe he was the best actor, but just couldn't do the accent that they needed.
Oh, and it's Dad! Yeah. Look what I did, Dad! Remember me, Dad?
Here's the theme.
The horror movie is about that.
And then he uses his, fucking first place science trophy star to, cut Spider Gary Oldman.
You know how I always what is the theme of this movie? How do they
make
interpret
time
theme?
For your kids?
Wow, they really hit you on the
and
head.
Literally,
you're
it's
welcome.
Not only is it about a dad who didn't make time for his kid, it's about his kid then fucking
making
with time. Yeah.
Really making time for his dad.
And he somehow makes a time travel device that's just like a orb. And it can only fit one person.
He uses, the hyperdrive engine that the dad created.
Stop defending this.
I'm not explaining the reason behind the ship. Yeah. I'm not saying that it works.
My favorite part, though, is when they, once we get the action and Gary Oldman's spider self is vanquished and Matt LeBlanc saves the other Dr. Smith from that person, it's like a donut hole.
Garbage.
Garbage. it looks like math blasters. It's just circling around. And William Hurt goes through and reunites with his family, and they all look back at older Will, hello, family. Yeah. And they're
not needed.
It is come with us. He's like, no, remember, I can only do one. It was good seeing you, Mom.
It's also a weird, the whole plan, because it seems again, it's already set up to start when Spider-Smith falls into it.
Right.
But then he falls into the engine?
The sharp garbage?
Oh, yeah.
Because so he can't fit. Because Order Will says, I made this big enough for me, but not big enough for you.
he's going to get in there anyway. That was his plan.
Because he wants to go back and populate the world with spider people.
Why?
Yeah.
Because now he's a full-on spider person.
Yeah, he feels like he's
a god. Also, but that's my other question. So they saved Dr. Smith from their current timeline, and all they do is run out of the bubble, right? Matt LeBlanc and young Will and
he
Dr.
Has
Smith.
To, yes. He has to
So why can't older Smith or older Will just also run out of the bubble?
Because he stops to save
the energy, the power
he
core.
He first stops to save older Will because it was so you could have just taken the energy and got out. So Will,
but he's like, you're my son.
Will Hurt could have done it. Will Hurt could have just abandoned his older son.
I'm talking about young old Will, the character, not Will Hurt.
Well, because when old Will gets hit over and he's gonna fall into to get killed and he gets trapped, he's being held right there
and
by
very convenient tubing.
He's being held by the tubing and then by the dog tags that the dad gives it to him is holding, which should have choked
symbolism.
Him.
Yeah, we should have strangled him.
Yeah, it would have strangled him. But okay, let's pass that. And then Will Hurt.
I got to see your mom.
Will Hurt could have just taken the time core out of there.
Which, why didn't he?
Because he wanted to save his son, because it still is
his
blood.
Not really.
Well, he does save his son. He's going to die there. And then he's willingly sacrificed himself to hopefully save him and then let the other ones get out, which they don't.
Okay.
And then older Will changes the time, the time code to just send the dead back in time to alert them to...
Oh, yeah,
because
their ship blows up at one point, too, and the family all dies.
Yeah, so that's why he does. Old Will just then is like, you saved me, Dad. Like, I, you told me one time, a throwaway line, that when you get old, you understand this. And then he just sends his dad back in time.
He's been raised by, Spider Gary Oldman, who also murdered all of the women of his family.
Yes.
Which, why?
Unclear.
To control Will.
Okay. So, okay, here's my other question.
He's the only one that believed that
we're current timeline, Gary Oldman, though, still has the spider bite on his back. Correct. So he will turn into a spider.
And they sort of like, he's fine. He's alive.
They were going to make a sequel where that was more addressed.
Yeah, that he would be, he gets cured. In the sequel, he would get cured.
So, but here's my question. So,
Heather Graham would have cured him.
Okay.
Old Will sends William Hurt through the time portal so he can be back with the family right before the ship blows up. Seems like he's sending him to just be there when the ship blows up, but
that'd be great if he was just like gave him a double bird like through the trash donut.
Fuck you, Dad.
His plan. So Old Will, which I love that we call him Old Will, is his plan is to go through his time machine before back to Earth before the ship launches so that he can warn them about it. Seems like to me that he should have just done that. Because then they wouldn't be lost in space. They wouldn't be in this position. Yes. So,
yeah, he would just be like, hey, Dr. Smith is passed out up in the vents because he rigged the robot. Like,
I guess it's not much of a question other than I feel like he made the wrong choice. He should have just been like, I'm saving all of us right now. I'm going to go back in time and you won't exist. But like,
well, see, that's when you bring in parallel universes versus
primary
universes. Right, which this movie is not set up to deal with at all.
No.
Even good movies have a hard time dealing with
right.
that.
Yeah. So that's just what I want to address there. He really could have saved his whole family.
And himself.
And himself in a universe by doing that. And he doesn't. And credits.
Wow.
They get away on the ship.
Yeah, it ends with them, like, you know, on the Star Trek ending where it's like, oh, the last frontier, and then they just kind of shoot off.
They do drive
to the planet a second time.
Yeah, why do they do that?
Because they know they're going to get hit by the thing, and he says that like, the only way that we can get out of here is to just go down, go through it, because the planet is splitting
apart.
Yeah,
they don't have enough power to launch out of it. They can use the gravity to sort of whip themselves out.
That's how that works.
It is. Well, you can use gravity to slingshot yourself. Can you go through a planet while it's disintegrating and do that? Unclear.
Science has not said yes or no to it.
And so the ending where they are like, they're all back to boldly go, and then it just... But
the
like
very
Earth,
last line
Earth
is
fucked.
Yes. Unless they travel through time again.
Fucking timeline we're in, Earth might be dead.
Even if you were planning two movies after this, it's not like a, wow, I can't wait to see what happens to the next movie.
No, I think that's probably why he also
this isn't
just
like
failed.
Quantum Leap, where it's like, oh, we're watching him go through different times in people's bodies to get back to his original timeline.
No, yeah.
Right. They're just now in space, but
they don't know what time.
Goal.
Right, yeah. Exactly. That's the point. What's the goal in this whole movie? Like, they don't really have a clear goal in this movie. Like, they're like, yeah, we'll get to Alpha Prime. They just don't seem to be making steps to, like, actually go towards that. Especially with the whole last act where it's the time travel involved, where everything should be, we're making steps to... What it really should be is, like, let's say there's, like, an outpost or something, and they finally get there, and, like, that's when they realize that
you
they've
really
traveled
want that
through
outpost
time.
You in this movie, don't you? You've been talking about
Because they need to have a clearer goal, other than, we need to get to this planet, but it could be on the opposite side of the universe, and we can't possibly get there. There needs to have, like, a clearer goal, and, like, that's sort of when it's revealed that they're through time. And that's how it can end. They get there, and they're like, oh, fuck, we actually traveled 500 years in the future, and our mission is not over yet, but we're still hopeful because blah blah blah. That's what I would like to see more of than this weird time travel thing that they put in the third act.
I'm really curious how like the pitch meeting went for this when they had to like rewrite the script, and then they were like, all right, so here's what happened, and Will's doing this, and there's a time travel bubble, but it's not that bubble, and they go through a different bubble, and then they're on the planet and they have to escape from the planet, but once they go through here,
do you think that they pitched and or had the other movies already written? Because like with the last Star Wars trilogy that came out, we now know that they did not have the trilogy written when it was pitched and started. Do you think that all three of these scripts existed?
I think they had a rough outline of what things could have been.
Imagine if we lived in that timeline.
We
got the Lost in Space trilogy, and like Matt LeBlanc became like a huge movie star.
Wow.
I'm sure that there were notes for a sequel to it.
But you would have thought that with Star Wars. And that was not the case. They literally made every one of these new Star Wars movies separate, and that's why they suck so bad.
Yes, but I also don't think that... I don't think you ever heard any stories that, like, Ian McGregor will sign up for four movies.
I'm talking about the Ray trilogy.
The original.
Ray. No, the most recent trilogies that came out in the past few years.
Like the J.J. Abrams to
7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, you already forgot about them. I know it's already.
I mean, they are to be fair. I would say that those movies, just because they have the lore already all written for them, they are worse than this. Especially because that second one just builds up to a whole lot of nothing.
I like the second one.
The second one?
That is the worst one.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Star Wars at all, and that's what
I agree.
That's the one that I like.
That one was just like there's a whole chase scene and nothing happens. They managed to make chase scenes be boring.
No, I like Benicio
Del Toro. If you watch it as a not Star Wars movie, it's more interesting.
Yeah,
I think that it would be even more boring because then you wouldn't care about any of these characters.
We're gonna have to do a special episode of this show where we do that movie.
Yeah, we'll put it on our Patreon page.
Yeah, I just have a hard time believing that they wrote this as a part one of a trilogy because it's an awful part one to a trilogy.
Yeah, I agree. But they definitely set it up for just like, it's sort of a Star Trek sort of thing where it's like, we're going to just explore the universe.
It's like the pilot of a show more than a movie.
That's why, I mean, there is the recent show and it's probably better.
Well,
I haven't seen it. Apparently
from what I was reading is also the fact that when this movie ends is the setup of how the show is set up. Because like Dr. Smith is supposed to be this kind of like,
well, it works
good,
for a show,
guy.
Not a movie.
So you're telling me this is the equivalent of the theme song of Gilligan's Island?
I don't know.
We're watching the 3-hour tour part of their story.
I don't know that reference.
That's the movie.
Okay. Yeah. All leading up to when they get to the island.
David Fincher presents the 3-hour tour.
But somebody on the boat's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was something that, a small thing that bugged me was the very last line of the movie is the kid just going, cool. And then they shoot off in the hyperdrive as if like, they haven't experienced a horrific event.
That kid
is just
not very good.
No.
Not the greatest. A small thing that bugged me was that they never, I know this is going to sound weird, but you never see them like eating. I thought they'd be like, we're all, because like, we were going to sleep for 10 years.
You see them eat at that weird protein bar.
Do they have weird protein bars?
They do. They make a joke because they feed
the
monkey.
Like, it's like banana and
meat.
But the thing is, they're supposed to be in hyper sleep for 10 years. They shouldn't have that much supplies.
They shouldn't have 10 years of
food.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that they're supposed to have 10 years worth of food.
All the fun parts
are not here. But
they're
supposed to be
traveling for 10 years. We need food. Like, we don't have, we're awake now and our sleep pods are...
take the scene in Alien when they like wake up and then they are all eating dinner. And it's like, oh, sure. I feel like I'm on a spaceship.
Yeah, they all wake up when a robot trying to kill them in Aliens. They all wake up in a very nice,
easy way. Get this weird, like, cute scene with, like, William Hurt and his wife, and they're, like, making their bed, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
There's so much of that. It's like, they're a family.
And I'm
like,
it's supposed to be a family
But you're
plot.
In, like, disaster mode. Like, things have gone
horribly
awry. Like, the
and
worst
everyone's
case
calm.
Scenario.
Try to keep the
and
normalcy.
They're just like, holding out blankets and like fluffing pillows and being like, well, you really need to make time for Will. We're all gonna die in space.
None of them act like they just experienced an emergency, which is what they did.
And a traumatic event.
Right. And all of that, and it's
Matt
LeBlanc
hitting
on Heather Graham.
Has a line where it's like, oh, it's really good to have everyone under one roof for the night. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They're all alive. They could all be dead.
That's what bugged me the most. It's those things.
The lack of urgency and everything.
It was slow. It's over two hours.
I really think William Hurt was miscast horribly in this role. I don't really like him as an actor. I hate him in this movie.
I do. I like William Hurt. I looked at the. I'm sure
he just seems very bored.
They did have two other people.
Yeah, you're
in
right.
Mind
he
for
does
that,
seem just very bored.
Like,
what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
What?
This doesn't make any fucking sense.
What? Yeah.
Well, while you're pulling that up, Chris, we've been talking about this for almost an hour, so I think we need to get to some ratings.
We got to talk about the Spider Gary Oldman.
Okay.
So I like the initial reveal of him because it comes out of fucking nowhere, in my opinion. And he's creepy as hell. That like hooded, grievous kind of look to him with like the claws.
But the reveal is bad.
Yeah, but I like him when he's like underneath the thing. He's
the
very
robes,
ominous.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, oh my god! As soon as he takes it off, it's like I'm playing
a PS2
game.
He has like an 8-foot long neck. And I'm like, how is this?
It's like Lawnmower Man.
I remember watching that, and it was one of the things I remember watching this movie. It was always like Gary Oldman's like spider thing, which I thought was longer in the movie, to be honest. And in my head, from what I remember, because I. I haven't watched this movie probably since the first time I watched it. And I've watched Terminator 2 multiple times. And I always remember being like the same, like fluid, like motion of T.
And
the other
T2 was made like 6 years before this movie.
Yes, but that's what the yeah, like, what is his name? The Robert Patrick's character,
like the T2000,
whatever. Yeah, he like when he does like the one like some of like the weird like metallic
stretchy
things
stuff
that he does.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always what I remember. For some reason, I had a visual of like his face going like. Whoosh. Like real, like
it does. He has that long 8-foot neck that it just
yes, and like in my head, like
around.
I always picture like the scenes from like T2, and when I watch it, it's like, oh yeah, this is not T2.
Nope. And do you know what? And the thing that kills
is himself.
Yes,
his eggs. So he also
it reminded me like a Rick and Morty episode. He's like, yeah, my egg sacs are gonna take over the world, and they literally do a pan to his ass.
Yeah, and they're like, don't forget your spiders. They're cannibals. Yeah. And he just cuts them open.
Yeah, the throwaway line because he cuts them. He's like, don't you remember on the ship they eat their wounded? And I'm like, I'm supposed that throwaway line on the ship is supposed to be like significant
the climax
now? Yeah.
So you thought that you couldn't pay attention to this movie, huh?
It adds up. Again, I do like that Gary Oldman just like script. my spider sacks like my children babies, and I'm like,
it is
so
a weird.
Gary Oldman self procreated with himself to make more space spiders.
Chris's dance to that was
yeah,
pretty
that,
good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, the weird thing is that he calls himself like a god, and it's like, okay, sure, you can create life out of nothing here, but it's like, is this like helpful for you to like to it's not like you have like mind powers.
What does he
like,
get
that
from
be cool?
What does he get from space spiders taking over the planet?
We will never know.
He'll be king of the space spiders.
We don't live in that timeline.
He got killed. Thank God.
Yeah,
apparently.
Chris, do you have the other?
I did. So apparently, Kenneth Branagh and Tim Robbins were both interested in playing the part of Dr. Smith before Gary. And Gary Oldman, I guess, jumped right in. He was like about it. He was like,
I
yeah,
mean, because to
me
be
up.
Honest, he is the most interesting character in terms of because. Like even when he convinces Will
boy he, child
but like he convinces Will but like you know that because again like they have the shot he's like oh he's clearly
Golden
scheming
son.
To try to get away and then like when he's away with Will he still protects Will. Yes, for like, so like he's, because again, like I think that they're trying to build up to whatever
yes,
he's in
they,
the show,
he,
but they
he should
never
be a guy who's
him,
not a good guy who is a good guy. You wanted him to be kind of an, but
which he
it,
is, but they never build for him to be.
It's also because they ultimately make him, in a way, the villain of the movie.
Correct.
That's why it should have been something else where he has a moment to then help and save the family, and they don't do that.
He's the bishop of the movie? Like, if you're doing aliens?
No,
stuff?
He's not. Because Bishop is a good guy through and through.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be set up as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Because the other, and Ash was the bad guy in the first
yes,
Alien.
He's,
he's supposed to be the android.
Yeah. Or, God, what's his name in Aliens? Who's the human guy who works for, Wayland.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, God, I can't think of it.
Let's
characters.
Move on to
what is. Yeah, we've been talking for a while. We need to get the ratings on
it's
our
fine.
Negative
people
5 to 5
they
scale.
They came here for this one. For November,
yeah.
They came here for the long and cozy.
Positive. Who thinks they're going to have the positives?
Lucas?
I'll start.
Okay, yeah, start out.
No,
Lucas.
I'm not on the positive.
Right. You've been very generous to some bad movies recently.
No, I think he's been trying to ground it.
Yes. I've been you, Lee, because you're always the one that just talks about, like, plot and, like, describing things that are, like, sometimes irrelevant to some of the movies that we watch instead of, like, just being
Lucas
there is entertainment.
Been favorable. I think he's just trying to make sense of it.
Yes, I was trying to, what the filmmakers are trying to tell you.
Here. Did he do a good job?
No, he did. He did. I think that this movie, I'll give it a -1.
Okay.
Rewatching, like, I had fun too in a lot of points in this movie that were just, like, entertaining. And I remember, like, watching these, and it was like, I chuckle, like, seeing, like, when, again, like, since I knew the movie, when Gary Oldman gets, like, nipped by the spider, it was like, so that's how he becomes, like, it's like, in my head, I was like, oh, okay.
Which, like, I guess that's how space spiders work. They turn other
why
things
not?
Into space spider creatures.
As we've been discussing, it's a very convoluted plot that it could work in a different timeline that clearly we are not in. And it could have been more fun. And it has a lot of the elements because they mesh so much in here that is good, but they don't do anything with all this fun, interesting stuff that they create. And it's just like, it's so much in here.
There's a fucking lot.
Yeah, much in here that even in 2 hours, like, you cannot
make sense
of it. Yeah. And it's just like, it's not the worst thing that we've ever seen here because, like, there's still, like, elements of it that are fun, but it's just, is just so much that it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Or make sense to someone else, but
no.
Me.
This should have all been like the third movie, where like the reveal is like, "Oh, you've actually been in the like a future timeline this whole time that you're looking for Earth," and like da 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 da, and then it ends with them like going back in time or whatever. This just felt like too much for like we're gonna introduce these characters and build a franchise.
This movie does a Planet of the Apes weird like reveal
but
way
not
too
not
early,
in, yeah, but not in
yeah,
a good
but,
way.
But it does way too early, and it's just like, but then adds like 20 other things to it, and it's like, wait. What? Like, what is the relevant part of this whole thing here? So, yeah, I'll give him in as one.
Okay.
Wait. One more thing, because I was going to ask you guys this, too. What was your favorite part about this movie? Like, you had a favorite part. Everyone did.
I still
what's
love
your
the beer I drank.
I still love the whole thing in Proteus, the ship that they find. It's,
do we all have the same favorite
because
part?
It's cool. It's scary.
It is cool.
It's cool. It's scary. Like the whole build up to like them walking into this abandoned ship. It reminds
just
me
Matt
of Dead
LeBlanc
Space.
Assembling like a space gun.
Yes, it reminds me of Dead Space, the video game, and like so. I can see a lot of other things that I've watched after this. They're clearly not clearly, but seems to like have stolen things from this. With like this, it's a very nice build up of tension.
Yeah.
But then, like, that is the best. I wish I would just watch that movie.
Also have the scene right after that where William Hurt's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm blowing it up. And he's like, no, I'm telling you not to do it. And he's like, I'm going to do it. And then they have, like, a whole, it's so much wasted scenes. Where
they're like,
I told you not to do that. He's like, well, I did it because, like, they were still a threat and your dad would know better. And you're like, my dad died on that mission. And
where
then,
does that go?
Nowhere. Yeah. It means nothing. And that's why I'm like, why didn't you just have him blow it up and then move on? You don't need to have any of this conflict.
It's
boring.
In the end when he tells him to just go through the planet again and he says no. And it's like, I'm giving you a direct order. And then they looked at each other.
I thought about that. I don't know if it works.
It is the only callback to it. What are you talking about?
No, I don't think that justifies
it. No, it doesn't. But that's why they wrote that
in. All he needed to do at some point was like shoot Matt LeBlanc like a look of like, I disapprove of like... It was as simple as that.
Matt LeBlanc is already like blatantly like
don't
trying
care.
To trying
doesn't
to
want
to
be
fuck
here.
This guy's daughter in front of him. So
right.
It's like
you don't
that's
need
enough
a whole conversation
already.
Yeah.
The tension could just be that, where it's like, oh, I find your daughter attractive, and it's like, hey, that's my daughter, man.
Well, so you're talking, Chris. You have a rating?
Oh boy, -3.
Okay.
Okay. It's long. This movie's long.
It's so long.
It's long. It's
so
long.
It's over
2 hours.
Long,
but so much is left unanswered.
I know, and that's why I'm
they
I'm
are
kind
so
of,
lost in space.
I'm kind of fascinated
I'm lost
by
and
it.
Lost in space.
Like, did I hate watching it? I don't think I did. I like, if you asked me like in a few weeks from now to watch it again, I probably could.
But that's not a good...
We could watch this movie again just getting drunk and just poking at
it. I could watch again and just focus on the fucking monkey because like I feel like we still haven't spoken enough about that. And why that must have been so expensive and it does nothing. The monkey
they tried to arc
nothing.
All the characters.
He doesn't help them. He doesn't...
No. It was the teenage girl's way of like arcing.
And it's a bad one.
No,
I
know.
It's not good. They should have just had her bond with one of her siblings like or her mother. Anyway, there's... They could have had, they had more options at hand than a CGI space monkey.
That's a great band name.
A lot. CGI space monkey.
And we didn't even talk about the fact that the monkey's a chameleon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everything
it's not important.
It just blends
not
into
important.
It. That's the kind of shit that's like mind-boggling where I'm like, wow, this must have cost so much money and just for nothing. And so I could watch it again. It's not good. I'm going to stay with my -3.
Okay.
But I'm still kind of fascinated by it. I'd love to watch this with commentary.
This is such a picture a perfect of a bloated Hollywood blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get some big name actors. Let's throw some huge numbers to get some CGI cutting edge.
Let's
sell.
Partner up with Burger King.
Yeah, we'll make a shit ton of money. We're going to get an old IP. We're going to get old people. We're going to get young people at four quadrants. Have a good time. And then we're going to take every single sci-fi trope imaginable and cram it in every scene. I mean, I could literally probably name a dozen classic sci-fi movies that this clearly pays homage or rips off, but does not nail any one of them.
Right.
Maybe Alien a little bit with that scene that we talked about.
Yeah.
It makes me want to watch any of the other movies that it's reminiscing of without adding anything new, fresh, or interesting. Mm-hmm. I think William Hurt just... It really does an awful job in this movie.
Yeah, why do you hate William Hurt so much?
I think he was just miscast.
And no, I meant in general.
He's always too flat for me. I think that's
his
shtick.
Fair.
Yeah. I think Lee had a crush on him and used to write him letters and never responded. And now
have you seen Dark City? Speaking of other boys, yes. Sci-fi.
I do
movies.
Like Dark
yeah.
Cities. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt LeBlanc wasn't necessarily miscast. It just makes this a very 90s film.
Oh, also I read that Matthew Perry was apparently offered the role first.
Interesting.
And declined it, and then Matt LeBlanc took it. But could you imagine Matthew Perry would be so much worse?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a devil.
Thank God.
Clearly he read the script and was like, oh, I'm not good. I can't do this.
Yeah. No. Matthew Perry is an action hero, but Joey I can buy.
So unlike other very harsh ratings that I've given to movies, this is intriguing. But I feel like because it was such a waste of money and so many people did see this and it was financially successful, it makes me irritated. I'm going to give it a -4.
Okay. I do want to say before I get to my review that, I mean, I know we've done a lot of 90s movies that have taken from, like, the 60s. I mean, you can look at Flintstones, George of the Jungle. I'm sure that there's other ones.
The Haunting is a remake. Right.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats. I mean, what is up with the 90s? Just taking a look back at the 60s and being like...
It's the same thing that we have, like Pokemon movies and Power Ranger movies right now.
I know. I think the point I was getting at was, like... I mean, because I saw that there's a new Addams Family movie out, and it's like, are we at this point where we're remaking 90s movies that we're just remaking IP
yes.
from the 60s?
We're
and
fucking
it's...
remaking the monsters right
yeah,
now.
Rob Zombie's
oh,
the
I
monsters.
Want to talk to you about that because of Rob Zombie.
Yeah, we have a lot to say about that, but off the
Hannah
podcast,
went into
probably.
A rage when she saw Rob Zombie was remaking the monsters.
You know, because the monsters don't typically have rape scenes in the episodes. Yeah,
God damn, what a
yet.
Fucking... awful.
Yes, so we live in a world where we're out of ideas and we're recycling like 60-year-old ideas.
Yeah, it's just interesting. We're starting to see that like that 90s momentum again where we're just rehashing that stuff. I hated this movie. There was no part even that I really liked. I thought it was long and boring. Like you said, with all the tropes, I think that this was a mismatch of three separate movies that could have been expanded into three separate movies. Don't know what anyone was doing. Don't know why they were doing it. I think this is a -4 in my opinion as well.
What did you like about it? Did you like the Matt LeBlanc helmet sequence?
No. I didn't dislike it. I was like, yeah, that's...
How can you not like that sequence?
I like the cast for the most part. I really do.
That kid is awful.
Yeah, I
didn't
care.
Did you like the monkey?
No.
We all
didn't care for
the monkey.
What did I like about the movie?
CGI Space Monkey.
What is the difference between a -5 and a -4 for you on this?
A -5 like fills me with rage when I'm watching it. -4 fills me with boredom.
Despair.
I think,
so
yeah.
you weren't enraged watching
it. Wasn't
this.
Enraged, but I stopped it like 3 times because I'm like, oh, I need to like walk around and this movie's boring me. And
I would say it's the opposite for me.
Yeah.
I would say like I'm... The enraged part is what I'm a little bit. It gets me excited.
Okay.
The boredom, like Jack Frost, bores the hell out of me.
There's things
to
talk
five.
About.
Yeah.
So when you're enraged, there's things to talk about. While when it just bores you, like what the fuck was
I don't even feel like. That's I mean, outside of you guys, I don't think that there'd be anything to talk about with anyone. Like, I mean, I think this is a movie that you should avoid and mistrust anyone who says that they like it.
I might start telling people it's my favorite movie.
Do you have this on VHS?
No, but I've seen it several times.
I think this had a lot of potential, and it just was totally wasted.
There's probably a music
and
video.
I do want to say that you guys heard it here first. Ernest Scared Stupid is a better movie than Lost in Space. So sure. just want to throw
well,
that out
it
there.
It certainly got better ratings by all of us.
Also, the which I thought was hilarious, the whole end title sequence.
Oh,
it's
so 90s.
It's so intense.
I turned it off as soon as the credits started.
Well, but it's so, it starts so fast and it's so loud.
It's like the so... credits like shoot into the screen.
Yeah,
and they're like layered like 3 times over, and
it's
just playing
a
this
weird mission.
You know why? Because they had to pump you up some way.
The credits were like sponsored by like JNCO jeans. Like that's what it felt
Jinko
like.
Jeans.
Well, yeah, they needed to do something so that when the dad dropped the kids off after custody weekend, that they're like, I think I had a fun time.
Don't you guys like it?
That was harsh. That was harsh. That was a harsh cut there.
The music was cool, but I didn't really get it.
I think that's how we should just end it.
I have one more little fun
fact
for you.
No, just you saying that.
Two of these characters, died. Two of the actors, Gary Oldman, Matt LeBlanc,
worked in Friends.
Yes.
Yes.
I knew you would
Their
know.
Scene is hilarious.
Yeah, they had previously done Friends together. Yeah.
Huh. Was it previously or was it after this?
I think it was...
I know that Matt LeBlanc was currently filming Friends, and he had to fly back and forth between set, which sucks. He had to fly across the Atlantic Ocean to do this or that. But I mean, this was like, I assume like his agent must have been
like, two episodes
this is going to be your breakout role. Like you're going to get in the movies and like, you're going to be a movie star. Yeah. And like
They were in two episodes space, together in Friends. Yeah.
So well, thank you, Leo, for this screen gem.
This might be one of the longest episodes that I think we've
There's
ever done.
There's a lot to talk about.
And
deservedly so. Well, that's because like the time warp that we went through.
Yeah. It's going to feel like it was like 15 minutes, but
for us, we were in hypersleep. But we weren't in hypersleep and went through a time bubble.
We went through three time bubbles.
For all of you, this is probably only an hour and 10 minutes. But for us, it was...
a lifetime.
Yeah.
We're old and with kids now.
Okay, well, that about wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you stick around for the trailer for next week's episode. And find us on all your favorite social media things, whatever. You can write to us at throwbacktheaterpodcast@gmail.com if you have any movies that you'd like us to review. And that's about it. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day or night or whatever. I don't give a shit anymore. Thanks. Bye.
New Line Cinema presents an awesome, ripping, totally stoked.
Get on with it.
New movie, Surf Ninjas. It's the story of these kids who get booted from their country by this evil dude.
That was that.
Now they're growing up in L.A. Life's one major vacation.
Just gotta wax the old band-a-wave friction-reducing vehicle. Surfboard.
But some gnarly ninjas give them a blast from their past.
Those boys die tonight.
So they gotta split with their one-eyed guru.
Your highnesses.
Huh? And go back and save their country. Which is cool, because they meet this mystery babe.
You want to go to the mall sometime?
And like one dude... gets these superpowers. One can see the future in his Sega game. And one, well, one's a geek.
There's dynamite here. We'll throw it at him.
I got one!
One, two, dudes!
And now, they gotta fight the righteous fight. Basically kicks up. You gotta see Ernie Reyes Jr. Rob Schneider.
He can get a job as a sushi chef, no problem.
Wild Thing Tone Loc.
Brothers don't surf.
And Leslie Nielsen as Colonel Chief. In a film by Neil Israel. Surf Ninjas!
I love the part when I was like, ah! Sorry.